Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Foodomania. Today's show is going to be great. It's the Middle Eastern Feast. It could be called the Middle East Feast, and then you'd have sort of a bit of a poem there. But today we are going to cover the gamut of incredible food from that part of the world, which is the headlines that we're going to make, the peaceful, universal headlines of people eating incredible food and actually living and working together on a daily basis. So here's what we're going to cook today. We're going to make a falafel, an Israeli sort of Middle Eastern meatball, vegetarian, made with chickpeas. We're going to make an eggplant salad, better known as baba ganoush, which is a roasted eggplant, delicious, creamy spread. We're going to make some hummus, because what would a Middle Eastern feast be without hummus? We're also going to talk about roasted lamb and tzatziki sauce, and also sort of the souvlaki idea. All right, so let's begin. First, let me tell you this. If you'd like to call in and be a guest with me today, you can do that. Just dial 323-580-5779. 323-580-5779. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love you to be part of the broadcast. And you can do that. It would be phenomenal. I would love it. So that's your call. If you'd like to do that, you can call in. Now, also, I'm going to open up a chat window right now, and that means that you can also have a little bit of talk with me via that way if you'd like to. And if you're looking at the Foodomania site right now and listening to it, which is pretty much the only way you can do that, you'll be able to talk to me that way. And if you want to ask a question but you don't want to be on the air, that's what we can do. All right? So there's lots of options, lots and lots of them. Anyway, here's the deal. Middle Eastern food has been around as long as anything, some of the oldest roots in the world. And what we're going to do today is we're going to come up with sort of a menu as a feast that will be incredibly delicious and incredibly wonderful. If you want to write some of this down with a pencil and paper, go ahead. But to make it even easier, so you can just sit back and close your eyes and enjoy the succulent descriptions of the food that I'm going to be preparing for you in the next few minutes, you can do that, and all you'll have to do is write me at Chef Stuarto, C-H-E-F, F as in, which is like F as in Frank, S as in Sam, T-U-A-R-T-O, Chef Stuarto, at hotmail.com, okay? And if you write me, just write Middle Eastern Feast in the subject line. I will forward you back a complete menu and ingredient list and directions for preparation. All right. That's simple as that. How's that? All right. So what we're going to start out, first of all, is our general shopping list. And as I said, I'm mentioning some of the incredible things that we're going to be cooking today. And so let's start out with the things that we need to give some time. And let's talk about the lamb first. So what we're going to do is get a very small lamb roast. And today's feast, we're going to talk about preparing it for about four people. So therefore, what ingredients I give you today are about four. If you're just doing it for two, do it for four anyway, because trust me, you're going to want to eat this again the next day or even later in the same day. If you're going for more people, you just double everything. So I would get a 2.5 to 3 pound little lamb roast. What I love to do, I take the raw roast, rinse it really well, and take about 7 or 8 garlic cloves and just sort of funnel it into the roast. You can make a little teeny tear, but very small, because we want to make sure we preserve the juices and mash those garlics into the body of the roast, all around it, just different places. Then what I like to do is take some kosher sea salt and rub the salt around the lamb. It's sort of a big bowl. The next thing I do is take a little bit of olive oil and I rub it with olive oil. Then I take a combination of paprika, rosemary fresh, oregano fresh if possible, grind that all up and rub it around the roast. Okay, and then finally, what I think is really one of the neatest things in the world is get yourself a little bit of cranberry juice. That's right, cranberry juice. And take about a third of a cup of that, pour it over your roast. Go ahead and take both hands around that roast and rub all the ingredients together and let it marinate in your fridge for one day. And that means about every 3 or 4 hours, except for the night at the time you're going to sleep, give it a little toss and stir and rub to just ensure that every part of the roast is being coated. All right, get the lamb away. Let's make believe it's the next day the lamb is done. Now, I'm going to teach you a really simple way to make pita bread, which I've talked about on other shows, and let's do this really right now. What you're going to need is a grill of some kind. You can either do it on a flat top on top of your stove or a very medium heat regular grill, an outdoor grill. Make sure the coals are not flaming, but that there's a good substantial amount of heat. Now, to make enough pita bread for 6 pitas, go ahead and take a big bowl. Put yourself a tablespoon of very quick-acting yeast in there and 1 cup of warm water, a tablespoon of olive oil, a tablespoon of honey, a pinch or two of salt. Give it a good whisk and let it ferment for about 20 minutes. Then go ahead and add 1.5 cups of flour using a wooden spoon to stir it around. And then finally, the rest of the flour, as it's mixed up, go ahead and put a little flour on your hands. Take that spoon, take your fingers and rub everything off the spoon and go ahead and work that dough. What you want is soft but not sticky. So if that means you have to use a little bit of more flour to get that texture, here's how you'll know. You'll roll it in the bowl. You'll pull it. You'll roll it and eventually into a nice ball. The test is stick your pinky into the dough. And if it sticks, just add a little bit more flour. But just a little teeny bit at a time because we want to have the texture really good. Put it in another bowl. And go ahead with a little olive oil underneath it and a cool, damp cloth over the top and put it in the hottest part of your kitchen, okay? Now, that you want to rise for about an hour, all right? Now, we're going to make something called falafel, which is fantastic. The condiments for the falafel are going to be some couple of different things. What we're going to do is get some nice tomatoes and dice those up. I like to use a little bit of shredded lettuce. Some people like to use a little bit of shredded cabbage and get that all prepared. And we're going to have a sauce that goes over this that's incredible called tzatziki sauce. Very simple. Take a cucumber and a half, peel the cucumber really well, and go ahead and slice them into small slices and then cut them in half again. Get a small bowl, get 1/2 cup of yogurt, a little bit of diced onion, a little bit of sugar, meaning about 1/10 teaspoonful, a little bit of salt and pepper, and then a little teeny bit of balsamic vinegar and give that a nice stir. Go ahead and take your cucumbers, put those in there as well, and take that whole mixture and put it into the blender and give it a flash blend of about 3 or 4 pulses until it becomes this creamy, liquidy, thick, cucumbery delight. Put that in a little tub and sit that in the fridge to keep that cold. Now, let's make some hummus before we get into our falafel balls. What you're going to do very simply is take, now there's 2 ways to do that, and I've talked about this before. You can use, if you'd like, fresh chickpeas, but there's a bit more work. You're going to have to buy them. You're going to have to soak them overnight. You're going to have to boil them and cook them, and then you're going to have to cool them down really well. It's simple. If you want to save a little bit of time, go ahead and get yourself 2 small cans of organic chickpeas and make sure you put them in the fridge the day before because I like to do this cold. And then the next day, open the cans and drain them really well. Put those in the food processor. Now, next you want to do is get some tahini, and it's a simple, really beautiful, joyful product. Take 1.5 tablespoons of tahini and add it to the chickpeas in your blender. Now, next, take 1/3 cup of olive oil and pour that over. Okay. Now, what you're going to do at this point in time is give it a little pulse and make sure that, you know, you don't turn the thing on full blast. Turn your food processor on, give it a pulse. It'll start mashing up and it'll start looking like it's starting to go towards the area of blending and possibly a little creamy. At this point in time, I want you to add about 1 tablespoon of minced garlic. I like it really garlicky. Hummus is delicious. Make sure it's minced really well. And go ahead and add that to it and give it another pulse. Now, at this point in time, it should be getting pretty, pretty pasty looking, so go ahead and drizzle a little bit more olive oil in. Next, you're going to do is 2 tablespoons of lemon juice. go ahead and put the lemon juice in and a bit of salt and pepper. Okay, and finally, give it a good pulse. And finally, what I like to do is put a teaspoon to a half a tablespoon or almost a whole tablespoon of nice chopped fresh parsley. Give it one more pulse. Take your little spatula and take it out of the food processor. It should be gorgeous. Put it into a nice bowl and go ahead and drizzle a little bit of olive oil over the top and just go ahead and put a little bit more of that ground parsley over the top. Stick that in the fridge. Now you got all the makings for a delicious falafel. Now, talk about the falafel. Now, there's a lot of different ways you can do this. When I say a lot, there are several pre-mixed falafel mixes on the market that you can get. Fantastic Foods makes a really good one. There's Kashi's making one as well right now. And so to save time, you can go ahead and do a mix, and they work fine. And if you want to make your own, there's a couple of different ways to do it. Again, it's an essence of chickpeas, and I'll give you both. Now, the box kind is really easy. Just follow the directions. If you want to make your own falafel balls, I'm going to give you the recipe really quickly. And let me tell you what. It's really not that hard. Take one can of chickpeas. Take a third of a cup of wheat flour. And it's whole wheat flour, a little bit, and add it to the chickpeas. Go ahead and put a little bit of fresh parsley, a little bit of garlic. It's almost like the hummus, okay? But instead of pulsing it, you're going to go ahead and use a wooden spoon and stir this all together until you can pick some up and put a little bit of olive oil in there as well. And you can pick it up and squeeze it in your hand, and you're going to actually be able to fold the ball. Now, what I like to do is once I get all that done and I get all the balls made, at that point in time, you want them about the size of a golf ball. I'll take a little teeny bit of that wheat flour and put it on a plate, and I'll roll my balls in it. Okay. And I'll have all that done. And let's see, the amount I gave you will probably make a good 12 falafel balls the size of a golf ball. Now, to cook these, all you want to do is put about an inch and a half of very lightweight vegetable oil in a, hopefully what I would like to use is pretty much a steel pan, something really good and solid. This is the best way. A cast iron will work really great. Now, if you happen to have a deep fryer, there's no problem either. If you have a deep fryer with a basket, you want to get your oil up to about 350 and gently drop your little falafel balls into the oil. Now, don't play with them too much. What's going to happen is you're going to drop them in the oil, take the back tail end of a wooden spoon, the thing that looks like a drumstick, and go ahead and move them around a little bit, but gently, until it's finally going to start floating. And what I like to do is use my little drumstick to kind of rotate them so they get really beautifully brown, you know, not over brown, but just golden on all sides. At that point, take a very simple slotted spoon and gently remove the balls and place them on some parchment paper or paper towel to drain. Don't mess with them too much, and you'll have your falafel balls. All right, let's get the pita breads cooked. This is really important. Now, two schools of thought for pizza. What you're going to do is take that ball of dough and you're going to cut them into 12 pieces. Now, you get your 12 pieces, you're going to make them into small little balls. Use a little rolling pin to roll them out. Now, the pizzas that you get in the Middle East are a lot smaller generally than the ones you see here. And the idea is that cooking just right, when you flatten them out, you don't want to flatten them too much, probably a little less than a half an inch. And you go ahead and brush a little bit of olive oil on both sides and go ahead and lightly put them on your grill. Don't mess with them. What's going to happen is the heat from the grill is going to puff it up. That's right, puff it up. And you'll be able to actually see that happen. You're just going to get them a little slightly cooked on each side. It's only going to take about 3 minutes a side, and that's it. And you'll have your pizzas. Now, this is another thing that you can do. You can buy some pre-made pizzas. Remember, it depends on how you want to do this piece. If you want to do the whole thing from scratch, I'm giving you all the methods to do that. You can also buy some pre-made pizza bread. All right, we're almost ready to assemble a falafel. So we got our pizza bread now. Let it cool a little bit. Now, what I like to do is take one little side of it and cut it open. And if you've done it right, which I know you will, you'll have a hollow pizza bread. At that point in time, I take a tablespoon of hummus. I put that inside, like sort of like as if you were putting mayonnaise on bread for a sandwich. Then I take my little bit of lettuce, a little bit in the bottom. Then I take my falafel balls. I like to put two or three of them inside the pizza. Then I take a little bit of my shredded cabbage and put it over the top, and my diced tomato and cucumber right over the top, and that delicious yogurt tzatziki sauce over the top. And that's it. You have a delicious, incredible falafel. Youngsters or not. All right, that's your falafel. Put that aside. We got a few things left to cook, and we don't have that much time. Let's talk about our eggplant salad or a baba ganoush. Very simply, get 2 to 3 large eggplants. Brush the outside with a little bit of olive oil. Put them in a sheet pan and put them in the oven at about 350 for about 21 minutes until they're sort of wilted on the outside and they'll be really nicely baked. Pull them out. Let them cool a little bit. Now, carefully, very carefully, take a knife and cut them in half. At that point in time, what I like to do is take a little towel on my hand, take the half of the eggplant, lay it on the towel so you don't burn yourself, and take a simple spoon and go ahead and scoop out all that delicious, melted, delicious mecca of eggplant from both sides of each eggplant and go ahead and put that in a bowl. Use 1/3 cup of lemon juice, and you can use a little bit less than that, actually. I would say just drizzle it in there. A little bit of salt and pepper, some chopped parsley, a little bit of ground garlic, some salt and pepper. Go ahead and mix that together and stick that in the fridge, I would say probably for 20 to 25 minutes. And you pull it out, you have a delicious baba ganoush, and you can use that with little pieces of pita bread and just dip it in and put it on the dip. And some people take that baba ganoush and actually put it in their falafel to make a super falafel, and you can do that as well. But I like to have it on the side. In fact, sometimes I make the baba ganoush and take a little bit of hummus on the side with a little bit of cut-up pita bread and just put that out on the table right before you're preparing all your other stuff. All right? So you got that delicious baba ganoush salad, eggplant salad, delicious. All right, we have that done. Now, we're going to go and talk about our roasted lamb because this is really a wonderful thing. Now, I like to make a little bit of extra pita bread. So what I would do, if you're getting even for 4 people, I'm giving you enough to do it. But if you want to double that recipe, because I like to have a little bit of pita bread with everything, and I'll tell you what I do. Here's with the roasted lamb. Pull it out. Put it on a small rack in the center of your oven. I would take some pre-parboiled whole potatoes. I like to use medium-sized Yukon Gold potatoes. Cut them in half, parboil them, meaning boil them for about 5 to 6 minutes. Drain them really well. Put them in a bowl, olive oil, salt and pepper, a little bit of ground rosemary, a little bit of paprika, and roll them around and put them around the lamb. Then I take 2 nice sweet Vidalia onions. I clean the skins off. I cut them in quarters, and I put that Vidalia onion all around the lamb. Now I take my pan, and I take a nice piece of tin foil, and I make a tent. In other words, you're going to cover the whole batch, but you're going to make sure that none of the foil is touching anything. So you're going to hollow it out the center. Go ahead and stick it in a preheated oven at about 325, and you're going to cook this for 1 hour. And the idea is you don't want to overcook the lamb. So if you have a thermometer, you want it at about 140 to 145 if you're poking the lamb, check it. But I like my lamb lightly pink. I don't like to have it bloody, and I don't like to have it bland and pale in color. Okay, so you stick that in, you'll have your roasted lamb. Incredible! And that's that part. So put that in there. Now, eventually when you pull that, you're going to have your roasted lamb and potatoes, and you're going to have beautiful sauce from everything because you're going to put all your marinade over the lamb. And I tell you what I do. I put that in the center of the table, and I lightly slice it into very, very thin slices. I hand everybody a little cup of the juice from the lamb, a little bit of the pita bread, some roasted potatoes and onions, and I just take that pita. I take a piece of lamb, a little bit of the onions, a little bit of the potato, and I just roll it up in a pizza, and I eat everything using that incredible flatbread, and it's incredible. You still have a little bit of hummus on the table, a little baba ganoush, so you can just add a little bit of everything. It all works so together. By the time you finish your little bit of baba ganoush and your falafel, and you start getting ready for that lamb, it is going to hit your palate. You're going to be so ready for it. It's going to be delicious, especially those roasted potatoes. Wowie zowie. Now, let's talk about 2 things really quickly because we have a dessert to make. We're going to make a very simple baklava, and I'm going to tell you about that in a second. What to drink? Now, if you are alcohol, a very simple light wine is really good with that. Some people like a little bit of beer. But I really like, since I don't really drink alcohol, I always like to have sort of a lemonade, lightened lemonade, or some sort of a citrus juice with my meal. You can go East Indian and you can make a mango lassi. write me about that. And I don't have the time to give you that recipe right now, but it's basically mango juice and yogurt mixed together with a little bit of rose water and a teeny bit of honey, and it's a delicious drink. Now, there's not a lot of spice in this dish, meaning I haven't talked about roasted or hot peppers, but in lots of times you can always put a little hot sauce on the side if people want a little bit of that. All right, we don't have that much time left, so let's get quickly to our dessert. We're going to make a very, very simple baklava or a honey sort of pastry, and this is how we're going to do it. We're going to get some phyllo dough. Now, the phyllo dough is usually frozen, so you have to make sure you pull it out a good 2 hours before you decide to use it. It's very delicate. It's like the thinnest piece of paper that you can ever have, but it's okay. You take that phyllo dough, take it out of the box, and flatten it out and let it sit on the counter. Make sure you keep it as dry as you can at this point in time. Now, get yourself a stick of butter, about a stick and a half or so. Put it in a small bowl and put it in the microwave till it becomes all liquidy, and go ahead and get a pastry brush, and this is what we're going to be doing. Now, I want you to get a cup of ground pistachios. I want you to have a cup and a half of honey, okay? And I want you to have, I like to put a little bit of almond and cashew or something like that, and grind all nuts, just two different kinds of nuts are great. All right, in a small baking pan, go ahead and take your brush with the butter and butter and brush the butter on the bottom of the pan. Slowly, one layer at a time, one layer of phyllo dough, a little bit of butter on it. The second layer of phyllo dough, another little bit of brushed butter on it. The third layer of phyllo dough, more brushed butter. So at this point, you have three. Okay, then I'm going to have you take a tablespoon of honey and drizzle it over the whole phyllo dough. Take a tablespoon of your pistachios and shake that over the whole thing. It's almost like you're going to be making a lasagna. You get it? And then a little bit of your other kind of nut as well. Then go ahead and put a little bit of butter over that. Just drizzle a little bit and go ahead and repeat the process. Another three layers of phyllo dough with butter in between each. Then repeat the nuts and the honey, and do that until basically you run out of everything except the top. I want you to have just pure phyllo dough. Go ahead and take your brush and butter, brush that completely, and go ahead and make sure everything is sealed. Make sure it's not sticking to the side of the pan. What I like to do is sort of tuck the corners in a little bit, just push them down into the pan so they don't come out and you don't get that sort of burnt top, and actually it'll form sort of a seal that way. Then carefully take a piece of parchment paper over the top of the whole pan, not to be touching anything to do with the baklava, and then some tinfoil really tight over the parchment paper, and you're going to go ahead and stick it in the oven and bake it at 350 for about 30 minutes or until it's, you'll smell it. You'll actually get that smell. As soon as it starts smelling in your kitchen, you know it's done. No more than 30 minutes. Go ahead and pull that out. Let it cool. Lift up carefully the parchment paper and the tin foil, mainly because of that little heat that's in there. You don't want to get a thermal burn, and let it cool a little bit. You want to serve this at a little below room temperature. You don't want to really serve this hot, so give it a chance to cool. Then what I do in the pan, like lasagna, go ahead and cut it in thirds long way, and then on an angle, I like to cut it in little triangles. So imagine this. You have your square pan cut across from left to right, you know, on the long sides three times, and then at an angle from corner to corner until you'll end up triangles. Take very carefully a small, teeny little spatula, like a pie spatula or a cake spatula, put it underneath each piece, and go ahead and serve that with a nice strong coffee or cappuccino for dessert. Now, some people like to go crazy with a little bit of vanilla ice cream. I like to do that too, and sometimes I take a little scoop of vanilla ice cream with a little honey and a little leftover pistachios over the top of it, and then a piece of baklava right next to it with a hot cup of tea, or in some cases, people like to have Turkish coffee. Either way, it's going to be beautiful. So you are there. You're going to have an incredible, incredible Middle East feast to remember forever. And like some of these things keep, you're not going to eat everything maybe. You'll have leftovers. Make sure you let everything cool down to room temperature, and you're going to go ahead and refrigerate everything, and you will have it for at least another day or so. All right, we did it. We did it at the Middle East feast. Holy smoke. Can you believe it? We did it. So that's the story. Now, if you want to get this recipe, here's what you're going to do. You're going to write me again That's chefstuardo@hotmail.com. C-H-E-F as in Frank, S as in Sam, T-U-A-R-T-O at hotmail.com. Also, don't forget to go to www.1020radio. That is the number 10, the number 20 right next to it, radio next to that, .net. That is my little internet radio station where you'll be able to hear all kinds of things, and you'll also be able to check out really good recipes and be able to get more recipes. And don't forget, Sunday on 1020 Radio is Kitchen Cuisine Sunday. That means you'll have Kitchen Cuisine for 4 straight hours of Kitchen Cuisine starting at 10 o'clock Pacific and 1 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern. That's Kitchen Cuisine on 1020radio.net. I really want to thank everybody for being here, and I want to thank the letters that I've gotten and the people that have been following the show. It means a lot to me, and it seems like every week we get a few more people. We had over 75 people listening last week. That's amazing to me, because we started out, we only had one or two or three, and they were all friends of mine. But for some reason, other people are continuing and starting to listen. I'll be upgrading this show shortly in the next couple of weeks, and at some point in time, it will be simulcast on Ustream, so you'll be able to not only hear it on Blog Talk Radio, but at the same time from 1020 Kitchens, you'll be able to actually see me prepare some of this stuff as well, and I'm really looking forward to that. Next week is going to be the Brunch Crunch. That means we are going to do a Sunday brunch. We are going to teach you some of the most incredible combinations of the food that bed and breakfast places wish they could be serving every day. We're going to go everywhere from a Brooklyn little luncheonette diner breakfast to a fancy place in Northern California where they make everything from scratch, including the butter. And believe me, to the Northwest, where we'll do Eggs Northwest, which is the Northwest Washington take on Eggs Benedict, and they're incredible, and I call them Eggs Goldstein. And you'll see a famous picture of Eggs Goldstein next week. When you're listening to the show, you'll see the famous Eggs Goldstein picture. Now, you can always remember that you can find me as well on the Kitchen Cuisine page on Facebook. So don't forget to go to that page. You'll also be seeing a Foodomania Facebook page probably in the next couple of days, and that'll be coming up. And the 1020 Radio Facebook page. So all of those places are good places to find Stuardo and to get some food ideas and recipes. I want to tell you, it's been really my pleasure to be with you this morning. I'm hoping you'll eat. It's the weekend, and even if you have to work, take time to eat and enjoy your food. All right? Thanks a lot for being here today, and I look forward to next time. This is Stuardo for Foodomania. Don't forget, next week at the same time, 9 o'clock Pacific, 12 o'clock noon Eastern, it's going to be the Brunch Crunch. See you then. Bye.
Sorry, sad. I'm really simplified.
everybody.